In letter number 1625 in volume 6, dated Yud Sivan, Tavshin Yud Beis. So this person, first of all, as you see, it starts here with Beis. Beis is number 2, so we don't have number 1. And then what we have is Zion. Zion is number 7, which really tells us that they skipped. They didn't. The other things aren't really so much important to us. And then it goes to 8. We don't know what else was said in the letter. But this person over here apparently was a supporter of the yeshiva or the yeshivas, whatever institution, the Rebbe's institution. And he basically writes to the Rebbe that he can't afford now to continue his support as he used to do. So he's writing that to the Rebbe. And he's also having a discussion. And the other point, the discussion is, that was the year that the Rebbe's brother passed away. And he passed away in England, Yisrael Aryeh Leib. He's buried in Tzfat. And the question was, the burial, it took a couple of days to transfer the body from England to Israel. So it turns out that he passed on the 13th of Iyar, and the burial was a couple of days later. I'm not sure exactly the date now offhand, but he was buried later. Now, the Rebbe found out about it right away. It's the Rebbe's brother. So the Rebbe has to sit Shiva for his brother. And the question was, and also there's an issue that when a person who, a relative dies, he's considered to be an onan. An onan is someone who's supposed to be preoccupied with the burial. And because he's preoccupied with the burial, he's therefore exempt from Shema, from mitzvahs. He can't really be part of all the mitzvahs because he's supposed to be an onan. Now, the status of an onan is usually extended from the time that the person passes until after the burial, because that's the whole time that you're still sort of involved with that person. But the issue becomes that in this case there is a Chevra Kadisha, there is a society that is burying him, the funeral home. I mean, we don't really do much in that case. It's somebody's handling it. Well, the Rebbe's issue was, you know, he's not allowed to Shema, things like that. Somebody who is an onan cannot do the Shema. And the Rebbe did not want to lose all the time for the Shema, you know, waiting from the 13th of it to the burial. So the Rebbe relied on the lenient opinion that if you're not there and you're not by the burial and somebody else is taking care of it, so you don't have to wait till you say the Shema until the burial. You know, you can start your mourning as soon as you find out, and therefore you can do the Shema and everything else. You're no longer an onan. You're no longer onan. Again, is the status between the time the person passes until the burial. But the Rebbe didn't want it to be such a long time that he can't do the Shema and he can't do the other mitzvahs. So the Rebbe did the more lenient bit. Let's look inside. So first of all, I'm just going to read it because a little quickly because we're running out of time over here. So the Rebbe writes like this. First of all, the Rebbe says, Shalom uvracha, peace and blessing. It's dated Yud Sivan Tavshin Yud Beis. The Rebbe said, it was with pleasantness I received your letter from Tuesday. It was the first day of the Hagbalah before Shavuos. And the Rebbe says, I was worried why it took such a long time. You stopped writing your letters. So thank God that everything is okay. And it looks like there were no special reasons why you didn't write. So I'm okay with that. Okay, so that's the opening. Then the Rebbe writes in number 2 over here, it was with pain that I read in your letter that there's only very slight hope to increase the support to our institutions. Now, I thought diminishing, but the Rebbe says they could not increase the support for the institution. So, may Hashem, blessed, help you that this shall be widening in all your means, because, thank God, we see tremendous success that every shekel, apparently it's talking about Israel over there, that you, or maybe shekel metaphorically, but every shekel, see, chol shekel, every shekel that you get, you can be even more successful than up till now. And now, the Rebbe sort of, I think, in this parenthesis, is trying to say, how could we possibly say, the Rebbe says all the blessings come because of his predecessor, because of the previous Rebbe. So how could we possibly say that now a shekel does more than till now? So that means that when the previous Rebbe was here, the shekel didn't accomplish as much. How could it possibly be that the shekel of now should do more than the shekel in the times that the previous Rebbe? That's the Rebbe's approach, is that it could be nothing better than in the time of the previous Rebbe. That's the way I understand this. So the Rebbe writes, based upon the letter of the Rebbe in the Tanya, chapter 27, over there it says that a tzaddik who leaves, who passes away from the world, actually is more in this world. So, therefore, so the tzaddik, even though he leaves physically, but yet his presence and his powers are more. And therefore, the success is also more. So it means, you know, he passed, but he's still here, and his influence is still felt over here. And a further reason, the Rebbe says, is based upon the saying of our sages, that Hashem always precedes the healing before the actual, the Rebbe doesn't want to say it here, the makkah, before the pain, what he smites you with. I'm saying to myself, look, can you imagine we had to go through such a pandemic and we did not have Zoom, we did not have technology, we would really be locked in our homes. You know, one of the things is, I was discussing yesterday, I said, you know, and even though we don't have yet means to, you know, beat this virus yet, and still, you know, thousands of people are dying every day, but yet, at least we have a little bit of means of trying to slow the spread of the virus. That's what we're doing, right? And can you imagine if we did not have the technology, the science and the knowledge of how to stop the spread? I mean, you would have had the whole world. Such a pandemic, I mean, we would have had the whole world gone, Chas v'Shalom, you know what I mean? So Hashem sort of brings the healing before he brings the plague. So yes, we have this plague over here, and we're not completely out of the woods, and we have a lot of destruction, but yet it has been the healing before the plague. But in this case, the Rebbe says, since all the needs are increasing and the strength of the activists have been diminished, so there's not as such activists. And so therefore, Hashem has to fill this with success. So the success is much greater, even though, this is the Rebbe's explanation, why we're seeing success today is because Hashem is filling up that instead, because there's such great needs, and we are not as active as the past, so therefore, the success, Hashem makes it more great. That's Hashem's healing before the plague. Basically, let Hashem give from his additions even more than the main, and based on the saying of my father-in-law, and he says expression of the Rebbe. This is what the previous Rebbe said, a very interesting. This is in Yiddish, what he said. He says, Men zol zoiche zayn, zu zayn divas HaKadosh Baruch Hu noisen lehem al haitzo b'yem harishim b'shavua al kol ha-shavua, the Rebbe says like this, you know, God gives everybody, but God gives people in different ways. He says, let us have the merit to be from those people which Hashem gives them in beginning of the week, all what they'll need for the rest of the week. Okay? So on Sunday, basically, they already have enough, whatever they're going to need for the week. Let us be from those people, rather not, God forbid, from those that on Friday, they're just getting the expenses that they spent from the beginning of the week. So you better be, you know, better be ahead of the curve than being behind of the curve. So that's the Rebbe said that. You know, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. You see, over here I have Zion. Zion is the seventh point that the Rebbe is writing him. So the Rebbe writes to him, I want to thank you for your comforting words. Which, by the way, I just wanted to mention that we have Mark Forman over here also. Mark Forman has just lost his father, and the burial was on Wednesday. So it turns out that today is the end of Shiva. Unfortunately, due to the circumstances, some of the usual practices that are normally done, but in the pandemic, in our situation that we are here today, we're not possible to do that. But we can still, today is actually the day that he's getting up from Shiva. So we can actually still express our condolences to Mark on his loss and extend our prayers that may he be comforted together with those that mourn Zion and Jerusalem and know of no more sorrow. So I find it a coincidence that divine providence that the Rebbe is discussing over here, giving comfort for his brother. So this is like, wow, you know, it's time to give comfort. Also, the fact that on Lag BaOmer is the day that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped the plague, stopped, and they stopped dying. And starting after Lag BaOmer, there's a new set of students who basically restarted the world as all the sages, you know, were brought back. So that is something which is also comforting, the day of Lag BaOmer, in addition to the fact that it's the day of passing of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which he instructed that that should be a holiday because of the great joy that he had, the merit that he was able to connect to Hashem during his passing. So today, being Lag BaOmer, having all these important things. Now here, the Rebbe discusses a halachic issue that he had. The Rebbe's brother lived in England. He lived in England, and as such, the Rebbe wasn't there. The Rebbe was in the United States, and the Rebbe was told about it, that about his brother's passing. Now, there is a debate, when do you start Shiva? Normally, if you are there with the deceased, Shiva starts at the burial, after the burial. Say that a person dies on Sunday. For some reason, they don't bury him until Wednesday. The Shiva starts on Wednesday from the time of the burial. We don't start Shiva at the time of the passing. Although the Yortzeit will always take place on the day of the passing. But what happens, that is when the person is there. But what happens in the case of the Rebbe wasn't there. It was his brother. So the Rebbe found out about it. When does the Rebbe start his mourning? Does he start his mourning as soon as he found out about it? Because he's not going to be by the funeral anyways. He's not going to be by the burial anyways. Or does the Rebbe start it after the burial? Now there's another halachic consideration over here. Issue is, because if you start it at a later date, a person who is mourning should not really be doing the Shema and other things, and therefore it will turn out that a person who's like in the Rebbe's case, the Rebbe would not be able to say the Shema. So the Rebbe said, what I did was, the Rebbe said, what he did was, and here you see also how scrupulous the Rebbe was. The Rebbe said what he did was, he followed the opinion that says that you start the Shiva right away, that you start the Shiva as soon as he found out about it. So why? Because the Rebbe did not want to be in a situation that he can't read the Shema for several days. And the Rebbe is sort of expressing over here that although he was like bothered by the fact, Libi Noikfi, the Rebbe was bothered by the fact that the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad, and the Rebbe does everything that the Alter Rebbe, the Admor Hazokin, whatever he says, but the Alter Rebbe doesn't agree. The Alter Rebbe says in the Shulchan Aruch, he brings down in the Rechaim Rishim 9 Aleph, that you should start the morning after the burial, even though you're not there. But the Rebbe says, and you know, the fact is that the Rebbe couldn't help anything, because most of the reasons why the person is exempt from the mitzvahs is also because he's busy with the arrangement for the person who needs to be buried. But the Rebbe didn't do that. The Rebbe's not there, so he can't help it. But the Rebbe said that he was lenient because the Alter Rebbe doesn't outright rule that you have to start Shiva after the burial. And he just says the custom is. So therefore, the Rebbe said that he relied on the other opinions. The Rebbe says that he was taken care of over there to the Chevra Kadisha, the Katfoyi, and he brings down a whole various different discussion about this, but I think for our purposes that's enough, that the Rebbe further quotes from his father-in-law that you should start from the day that you hear, and the Rebbe continues with that. So, but I think we'll leave it over here in that thing. We'll go to the next letter of the Rebbe.